All right, thank you, preacher. Again, it's been a joy to be here this week and just been encouraged in the Lord as we've heard the testimonies and heard the call of God on different missionaries and how God has worked in their lives. And I pray as you've listened this week and you've heard the testimonies that, again, God would prick your heart to do something. Whether it is to increase your giving, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Whether it is you're going, there's a good potential in this crowd this morning that God could take somebody.
Yeah, great, good.
From here.
Yeah.
And take them to a lost and dying world. Spend their life serving God in the mission field somewhere. So you need to be praying that out of this church, God would call somebody. And you would be able to be a sending church for a missionary. That's an honor. To be able to do that, and maybe be one of your young people, maybe one of your children, maybe one of your grandchildren. You say, "But Lions, I don't want my children not far from me." Get over it. It's God. They belong to the Lord. They don't belong to you. Amen. And that's kind of harsh to start a message out with, but it's just the reality of life. Children, the Bible says, are a heritage, which means we are to prepare them to serve God. We've had four children. We have four children, and each one of them, we told them, you know, we don't expect you to be a preacher. We don't expect you to be a missionary, but we do expect you to serve God wherever He places
That's
you.
Good.
And He's, thank the Lord, called two of our children to the mission field, and we're excited about that. And, you know, the other ones are serving the Lord. I have one son that's away from the Lord. He needs prayer. And, but, you know, there they are. They make choices.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law told me when I married my daughter, her daughter, said, Brother Lyons said, or Jonathan, he said, you're taking my daughter. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She says, you go. We will never inhibit you.
Amen.
For serving the Lord. Thank the Lord for my mother-in-law. She went to heaven January 1st of this year. Lost a great prayer warrior. Every time we went to her house, she never held anything over. She says, whatever you got to do, if I had a ministry, if I had a church in the area that I was going to, my mother-in-law was always there in supporting and helping us as we serve the Lord. And I thank the Lord for good mother-in-laws, good parents, and they encourage. That's why you need to pray that God would take your children, take your grandchildren, use them in the Lord. That's not the message this morning. I covered that for free. I won't charge you for that. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning again to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll read our text. And again, I've tried to give you some stories from the Bible that's helped us understand faith promise giving. We've looked at several pillars of faith promise giving. And I've done the preaching. I really wanted to preach this one this morning. This is what I've been anxious to preach because I've asked God to do something special this morning. Not only in your hearts, not only in your will, but through your giving this year. I think this could be one of the greatest years of your faith promise giving here at Grace of Calvary Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you a story, or read your story from the Word of God in a little bit. Now, I believe once you read the story, and I'm here the application this morning, you'll never read that story with the same understanding as you've had in the past. I'm just excited to share it with you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we'll read the first five verses. Again, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, they abound into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power where they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for this morning, Lord, as we, Lord, have two more services this morning and this evening, Lord, to share with your people, Lord, the benefits, Lord, the blessings, Lord, the profit of just surrendering our lives to do and accomplish whatever you would have us to do as we follow your leadership. I pray, Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement. May you have your willing way as we look at these truths from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our story is going to be found in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and you probably just know by the text where we're heading, but I think it's, I've been praying, and I may have mentioned this last year, that God would give me a story in the Word of God that would really drive home the understanding of faith promise giving. I've been involved in faith promise giving all of my life, ever since I was a young teenager. Began to get allowance from my mom and dad. You've heard the story how I finagled my mom and my dad to give me a raise. You heard that story. And by giving my faith promise, amen. And so I've been involved in faith promise giving all of my life. And we got married and we have been involved in giving. And God has just blessed and supplied. I would not be here this morning if it was not for faith promise giving. Because of God's faithfulness. And so I just understand, again, that's why I've added the phrase, it's not only faith promise giving, it is faith promise living. It's the way you live. It's the way you carry out your life, whether it be in your giving of your funds or giving of your life or giving of your children to the Lord or whatever aspect of life that you are in, it has to be based on faith, and it's about giving, it's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 6, we'll read the first 13 verses, get a context, and then I'll give you a couple of thoughts this morning, and we'll send you home for lunch. Amen. John chapter 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? You may say, well, that's a trick question. Well, the Lord knew he wanted to teach the truth here. In verse 6, and this he said to prove him, there it is, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over or above unto them that had eaten. Wow, what a story. Man, would you have liked to have been there and to experience that event? I mean, I play that in my mind, and I've been accused of having an imagination, and that's okay as long as it keeps you, you know, in line. You don't have to go too far out there. But I imagine being there and being in that crowd and just kind of watching the events, and God and the Lord Jesus is there, and he continues to break, and he continues to go, and he continues to break, and he continues to give, and he continues to break, and everyone's being filled, and you're looking like, why in the world did he do that? Man, that's pretty cool. And that was an awesome event. But I think it really narrows in on faith promise giving. You say, well, I don't see it. You will by the time we get done. This series of messages we've been dealing with, the truth of the harvest. We've looked at several pillars of faith promise giving or faith promise living. We've seen the pillar of the truth of the lost or the condition of the masses. We've seen the pillar of the truth of the laborers and the commitment of the manpower. And we've seen the pillar of the truth of the Lord, the compassion of the master. Concerning the pillar of the faith promise giving, the truth of the lost, we learned that I learned about the hopeless condition of the lost, our responsibility to the lost, and the Lord's answer for the lost. Concerning the second pillar of faith promise giving, the truth of the laborers, we saw that they are committed cultivators, they are committed caretakers, and they are committed co-workers. Concerning the third and very necessary pillar of faith promise giving, the truth of the Lord, we saw that the Lord, He is the Lord of creation, He is the Lord the Christ, He is the Lord of Calvary, and He is the Lord of compassion. Without the element of the Lord in what we're doing, it really doesn't mean anything, doesn't accomplish anything. So the Lord it has to be intertwined in everything that we do. So as we get to the fourth pillar of faith promise giving, I like to share. Now, don't get uneasy about the title. It had to alliterate, and this is way alliterated, but I think it's pretty cool, even if I did think of it myself, all right? This morning, you want to look at the fourth pillar of faith promise, the truth of the loot. The truth of the loot are the concern for money. Now, understand that money is not evil. The love of money might be evil, but God uses His money to carry out His plan around the world. Did you get that?
Yeah.
See, it's not your money and it's not my money. It's His money.
Right.
He is more than capable of financing His work around the world. But He allows you and I the privilege and the opportunity to participate with Him. Now, He could have chosen another venue, another avenue, another way, and done it perfectly well, but He saw enough into the future. He knows enough about you and me that He wanted to give us the blessing and the privilege of serving with Him. Because ultimately, yes, the work gets funded, but we get blessed as well. So what do you mean, money? Let me remind you that the harvest is His, the labors are His, everything belongs to Him, and He allows us again to participate with Him in this thing we call missions. So in our story this morning, I believe we get a very clear picture of faith promise giving and how it really actually carries out in real life. You will never look at this story again this morning and understand it in a different way than what we're showing you. It's a real you'll have a real story that you can share and apply it to your lives. And so I want to give you a couple things that lead us into help us understanding our faith promise giving. Number one, if you're taking notes, we see number one, the surrender of a life. We see a surrender of the life. You see there in our text that the Bible says that Jesus said, and there is a lad. There is a lad. Now, we don't know much about this lad. We know that he was there. He know that he came prepared. It's kind of funny that the lad was prepared with food and nobody else was.
Yeah.
I mean, here's over 5,000 people have gone, you know, and evidently they have not heard a preacher before and have not gone to a service before. This lad knew something about it, and he took a lunch, and all those rest of the people went lunchless. But it tells me something about this lad. Verse 9 said, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 said, and this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. We see a young lad that has surrendered out of a godly desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, the stories about the lunch, we'll get to that, but it would not be a lunch if it wasn't for a lad. We would not know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 if there was not a lad who had surrendered his life to see the Lord Jesus. He heard about Jesus. He heard He was coming to town, and he had a desire to see the Lord. And my friends, can I help you this morning understand? Until we have that God-given desire in our life to surrender ourselves to see Him, we'll never do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to see Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, do you really want to be with Jesus? Do you really want to see Jesus? Do you really want to experience the joy of serving Him?
Amen.
He surrendered out of a godly desire. But then he surrendered, number two, he surrendered to the Lord. It was all about the Lord. He wasn't even thinking about his lunch. That was not even in the picture as he was going to meet with these people. He had no idea what was going to go on. He had no idea that Jesus was going to take his lunch. He had no idea. But he was going because he wanted to see Jesus. Then he surrendered for the cause of others. When you see this, you understand when you give to the Lord, you only don't just give to the Lord, you end up giving to others.
Right.
And we're going to explain that in a moment. But you understand there must be a surrender of a life. And we come this morning and we here at church and we've been talking about missions and we've talked about you know the lost and we've talked about the laborers and we've talked about the Lord and we come down to the money issue and we say, well, wait a minute, preacher. That means I'm going to have to do something. That's right. That's exactly right. There has to be a commitment, but there cannot be a commitment of money and commitment of a promise until there's a commitment of a life to serve Jesus. Because you know what happens if you give a commitment of money without giving a commitment of life? Circumstances of life will happen. How many I can say amen right there? You know circumstances of life. Those things that happen that we do not plan for, prepare for, or even expect. Something happens, we lose our job, or something, you know, have an accident or health issues. And all of a sudden, the first thing that goes in a Christian's life, and I'm being perfectly honest, the money. And it's usually the church money. Well, I just can't afford to tithe, preacher. I just can't afford to give. And that faith promise, man, that's above my tithe, above my offering. Oh, I can't do that. And we get our eyes off the Lord, and we get our money on the loot. And all of a sudden, the loot trumps God. But if we're surrendered to the Lord, see, it doesn't matter what happens in my life. I'm surrendered to do whatever because my life is in His hands. I'm surrendered to Him. I belong to Him. He's bought me with a price. His price has been the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been changed. And because I've been changed, I can only trust Him with my salvation to take me to heaven. I can trust Him with those unplanned circumstances of life. And when I commit today, not knowing what's going to happen this year, I can trust Him to make this time next year come to where it needs to be because I've surrendered my life to Him. There was a lad. Maybe there's a lad here this morning. Maybe it's a lad in form of a couple or form of a grandparent or form of a child and say, but Lions, I'm just myself not committed like I need to be. But I just want to be used to the Lord, whatever it is. See, your first step is a surrender of the lad. The Bible tells us, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave them own selves to the Lord. And that's where faith promise begins. Does it begin with the offering? It begins with me. It begins with me surrendering. So we see the surrender of the lad. Number two, I want you to see the substance of the lunch. The substance of the lunch. He said here, we've got a lad which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. Now, let me share my imagination with you a little bit. Why do you not say five corn cobs and two Chick-fil-A's? Or five sticks of broccoli and some lobster. There you go. You know. Why so specific? I mean, why wasn't it five donuts and a cup of coffee? I don't. You know. We get to this point and we say, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? The five loaves and two barleys, and being as ignorant as I am, I feel like I need to go look that up and say, what does that exactly mean? And I got some good, I love this. You'll love this. You'll never understand. You'd see it differently once I show you this morning. Five loaves, two fishes. Let's look at the substance. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, now therefore perform the doing of it as there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. See, he had those five loaves and two fishes. He says, I don't have much, but I've got this, and I'm going to give it to you. So let me explain a little bit about the substance. Number five. Yeah. Number five, spiritually, this number encourages you to embrace new experiences, even if they feel intimidating at first. Whew, does that not describe faith promise giving? But I have never given the faith promise giving. It's a little bit intimidating. It is. But it's number five. All right? Get a hang of it. We'll put all this together in a minute. It encourages you to look within, confront past wounds. I've been hurt in church before. It's all right. You can get over it. You can move forward. All right? And to move forward with a lighter heart. Number five also highlights the importance of a responsibility. The spiritual message here is to balance your desires with a grounded sense of purpose. And does faith promise not have a ground-sounded purpose of reaching the world with the lost? That's number five. It gets better. Five what? Five loaves. Look at this. The significance of loaves in the Bible lies in their representation of substance and provision for people. Is that not what faith promise is? We are giving out of what we have. It's putting us in an uncomfortable, stretching our faith, an uncomfortable place to be a blessing to people. And we're giving out of our substance to and as a way of provision for others. Number two. The number two reflects the importance of unity, partnership, and people coming together to fulfill a divine plan. It signifies partnerships and connections. You get the picture? We're connecting with missionaries, we're connecting with other servants, and we're helping them to accomplish God's will in their life as they're serving on the mission field while we are accomplishing God's will where we are. See, it's partnering together. The Bible calls us what? Co-laborers together. Now the fish. Early Christians used the fish as a secret symbol of their faith. Jesus is often referred to as the fisher of men. In this context, the fish represents spiritual awakening and a transformation that comes with it. It's the gospel that's transforming lives as you give through your faith promise. So I'm going to put this all together and give you a definition. All right, you ready for this? Hang on, put your seatbelts on, tighten your straps, hang on. So with all that understanding, it is a responsible experience out of a comfort level which provides substance and provision for others, partnered with a group of like-minded people who have a spiritual awareness which have a transformational impact on the faith of his faith, our faith, and the faith of others. That equals faith promise giving. Good. That's just the substance of the five loaves and two fishes. And when you look at that, you say, man, we get to be involved in something that God's doing. We get to partner with others. Yes, this is stretching my faith. It's a little bit out of my comfort zone. But in the end, it's the fish. God's gospel is being preached and lives are being changed. Amen. Boy, that's exciting to me. Man, if that doesn't get you excited, it should not make a Baptist shout on a Sunday morning. Praise God. It's good to be involved in faith promise giving. So you see the surrender of a life. Substance of the lunch, number three. We see the sacrifice to the Lord. There in John chapter 6, verse 11, it says, Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to disciples, and disciples to them and that were sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. You see, Jesus took the sacrifice. The lad had it. It was presented, and Jesus took what he had. You see, when you think about giving and you think about serving God, all God has want us to do is just to offer it. Right. And then he takes down it. He takes it with and do with it only the way he could do.
Yeah.
You see, it's allowing God to totally use you in a way that you can never, ever imagine. I can imagine a young boy going and thinking about his five loaves and two fishes and never imagining what would come out of that. I mean, he didn't go planning to give his lunch that day. He didn't go planning on participating in the feeding of the 5,000. He didn't go planning to be in the Bible stories years later. But God took something that was very small and insignificant And he did a miracle with it.
That's right.
And that's exactly what he does with your faith promise. He takes, you say, but Lance, I can't give much. It's not about how much. It's about the heart in with which you give it. The sincerity of your heart. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about. Hey, the sacrifice to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter talks about how, in verse 2 through 4, how down a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. It was a complete sacrifice. He gave everything he had. It was all his lunch. Now, skeptics would say, well, he should have saved a piece of bread for himself. I mean, really. He gave everything. Now, what if it doesn't pan out? Everybody said that before? Well, but preacher, if I give and it doesn't work, what's going to happen to me? You ever heard of the promises of God?
Yeah.
You heard testimonies last night, and I'm sure you have your testimony. And if you're faithful, God's word always comes through. It never hesitates. It doesn't go back. It doesn't change because of you and your circumstance. God's word is always sure. And so he gave everything he had, holding nothing back. But who do you believe was one of the greatest recipients in the end? This young boy, I believe, took a basket home. I don't know. That wasn't really clear. I mean, there's all different ideas, but I just can't believe that this boy would give his lunch. He was fed with everybody else, and he probably got a bag to take home, and he probably brought that bag home and said, Mom, brought my lunch back. What? I gave you 5 loaves of 2 fishes. You bring a basket back? I don't know how it happened. I just gave what I had. I just gave because the Lord wanted me to do something, and there was a need, and God gave me a basket full. See, we miss the basket fulls because we don't give the little we have.
That's right.
And this isn't about being a prosperity thing. This is about God providing for our needs. He had a complete sacrifice. He had a committed sacrifice. He gave all of it. He was all in. I mean, no turning back. It left his hands. Philip took it, or disciples took it. It was gone. No turning back. Wait. Give me some of that bread. No, it was gone. He was totally committed. He was all in. Then it was the combined sacrifice. He gave to the disciples. Disciples gave to the Lord. The Lord gave to the people. And then the Lord gave back. Isn't that neat how God does that? And that's just what God does. Last of all, and we'll close. I want you to see the sustainment of the laborers. The Bible says they gathered them together. John 6:13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets of fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above to them that had eaten. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us, for I mean not the other men be eased and ye burdened, but by equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You see, by his giving of those simple 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the laborers were sustained in the work. It sustained the workers. I mean, those disciples had been with Jesus. They'd been up walking around, and I'm sure they were tarred and feathered. They were hungry. And I'm sure they were good Baptists, so they were really hungry. Amen? And you know, they weren't no Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, Krispy Kreme place around to get stuff. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm sure that when they got that food, it supplied for. They sustained them. But you had those masses of people, over 5,000 there. It sustained the weary. They've been out all day. It also sustained the willing, those that were there willfully and wanting to do something but had no other means. But I can help you this morning. It will sustain you if you'll let it.
Right.
It'll sustain you if you let it. You see, when we give through our faith promise giving, it's not our tithe. It belongs to the church. The tithe is to supply the needs here, supply to take care of your pastor and his dear wife, to run the buses, to do the lights, to take care of the building, and pay the bills, you know, all those nice fun things you like to do, amen? Takes care of all that. Then you give offerings like you did this morning for a pastor, for the transportation ministry, that's offerings. And then faith promises on top of that. All those, that money goes directly toward missions and toward the missionaries and getting the gospel out around the world. And you may think in your mind, well, Brother Lyons, I just don't get a whole lot out of that. Now, wait a minute before you be too hasty here. How many of you have had your needs supplied this year? Amen. You directly benefited because you gave.
That's right.
Oh, Brother Lyons, I worked those hours. God gave you the strength to work those hours.
That's right.
Do you and I realize we're one heartbeat away from glory? See, everything we have comes from God. And He allows us to use, He gives us His money. It comes through us. He says, hey, I want you to be good stewards of that. I want you to give. Then I don't know, I want you to trust me by faith and watch me supply for your needs. And folks, there's no greater joy than experiencing and watching God supply my needs where I'm not able to. You say, how do you know? I've got 36 years of life in ministry to prove it, apart from the Word of God. And that's the most wonderful way to live. It takes the stress off. It takes the worry off. It takes the headaches off. It takes the fussing out because you're trusting God to supply. And that's the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, faith, promise, and action.
That's right.
So, you say, well, Lions, all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all God wants.
Amen.
It's the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But I can promise you, if you do what God wants you to do, and you're faithful in your giving, He'll bless you with baskets full. But the reason we don't receive the basketfuls of blessings is because we fail to give the 5 loaves 2 fishes. So I ask you today, as we think about faith promise, are you willing to give the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? That's all God wants. He wants you with the right attitude, the right disposition, the right willingness. Say, God, here I am. Take me. Use me. But then He just wants your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He'll take that and multiply it. We've seen over the days that people need the Lord. We see that believers have the Lord. We see Jesus is the Lord. He's made provision for the Lord. All this needs to come together. And we do what God wants us to do. Don't shy away from giving. Because God really does want to use you in a way you never imagined. And if you don't give, and I'm not threatening, I'm not saying God's going to put you under, you're going to take your car away, you're going to put you, you know, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you will lose blessings.
Right.
Or you will not receive the blessings that you could have had if you've been given your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. And I pray as we now consider our giving this morning. And well, just a lad, a nobody, that gave his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, you took what he had and you supply the needs. Lord, you want to take what we give, and you're going to supply the needs of this church with that. You're going to supply the needs of the missionaries and their congregations. And Lord, it just goes on and on and on. Lord, because you promised that if we're faithful to you, you'll be faithful with us. Bless now as the preacher comes this morning. Have your will away in our invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please, we're going to sing 579. The title of the hymn is I Surrender All.
Yes.
And maybe today you need to surrender your life.
Right.
Or maybe there's an area of your life you need to surrender. You've been holding on to it, keeping it for yourself, and you know God wants you to make a change, but you just haven't surrendered to it. Why don't you come this morning and do that? But perhaps this morning, God's calling you to surrender to giving. I don't know what it is, but you do. Why don't you hear God? And if he's spoken to your heart today, why don't you come and talk to him here at the altar? It's open for you. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, and you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, I'd like to meet you at the front, because we'll show you from the Bible in 5 minutes how you can know absolutely for sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven. It's right there in the scripture. Why don't you let us share it with you as we sing on the first.